It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert will be back tomorrow. Coming up, we'll look at the ongoing battle over a house in Fox Point and learn about the mysterious artist behind it and the numerous sculptures that adorn the property. First, Governor Walker made headlines this weekend at the Iowa Freedom Summit in Des Moines. He gave a speech at the event that caused many people to call him the weekend's winner. The overall theme of the speech was that the National Republican Party should go big and bold. After talking about winning the race for governor three times in the last 4 years, he had this advice for Republicans nationwide.
You see, I think that sends a powerful message to Republicans in Washington and around the country. If you're not afraid to go big and go bold, you can actually get results.
Matthew DeFoor was at the event, and he's here to discuss it with us now. He's the state capitol reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. He's covering the governor's potential run for president. Matt, thanks a lot for joining us.
Rob, thank you so much for having me.
Well, most of us didn't attend this Iowa Freedom Summit. Can you set the stage? What was the atmosphere like there?
Sure. It was held at this 19th century theater building, brick building in downtown Des Moines. You had several hundred conservative activists from around the state gather and watch a slate of two dozen speakers, including many presidential hopefuls, people who have both given a really strong indication that they're running, folks like Senator Ted Cruz from Texas or Chris Christie from New Jersey, Governor Scott Walker. And then you had other folks who were kind of are sort of flirting with a run, people like former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, Donald Trump was there. So you really had the full gamut of people on the right wing of the Republican Party. A lot of the more moderate candidates like Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney, Marco Rubio, they were not there. It was an interesting time, to be sure.
Before we dig deeper into what the governor had to say, did you get the sense that the crowd at this summit was buying what he was selling?
Absolutely. A lot of the commentary today that I'm reading and yesterday pegs Scott Walker as the big winner. And really what that has to do with is the expectations he brought into the event being somewhat low. People didn't think of him as being a real fiery speaker. But the stories he was telling at this event really had the audience on the edge of their seat. They were applauding several times throughout. He ended with a standing ovation. It was definitely a well-received speech.
Well, he talked about his record here in Wisconsin. Let's give a little listen.
Since I was elected governor, we've cut taxes in Wisconsin. We reduced spending. We balanced the budget. We took the power away from the big government special interests, and we put it firmly in the hands of the hardworking taxpayers. That's what we need more of in this great country.
So sounds kind of like a guy who might be running for president, trying to get some support in Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, he's said before that he is seriously thinking about it. There's no doubt that he is not only thinking about it, but very likely going to run. I think some of the commentary afterwards was suggesting that this really is putting him on that firm footing and pathway. So we're just going to be covering every step of the way here as he gets close to announcing a decision, which may not come until the summer. So.
We heard a few of the things there, taxes, unions. What other conservative principles did Governor Walker lay out in this speech?
Well, it was interesting because he didn't really shy away from talking about issues that he avoided during the recent gubernatorial election. He talked about signing pro-life legislation, defunding Planned Parenthood. These are things that when we asked him about it during the recent campaign, he said people aren't talking about those issues, but clearly this crowd in Iowa is that's a message that he thought would appeal to them. And talking to them, talking to people in the audience, it seemed to be a good bet. He also talked about things like expanding gun ownership rights, concealed carry, and Castle Doctrine legislation. He talked about property taxes being lower today than they were when he took office. He talked about putting in place voter ID, although, of course, that's now on hold. But certainly that was an issue that got a really big reaction from the crowd.
All right, we've been talking policy stuff so far, but to capture early primary voters, the personal side, make that personal connection seems to be a key. Did the governor try to do that in Iowa?
Yeah, this speech was very much tailored toward introducing himself to these people. You know, they really didn't know a whole lot about him. You know, we follow things so closely in Wisconsin, we take for granted that, you know, people outside the state really don't know every detail about the governor. They may have heard about his, you know, battles with the unions back in 2011. So he took this opportunity to really, you know, go over sort of his greatest hits on some of these things. He got, you know, one reaction that I thought was really interesting was when he told the story about getting death threats, and he used the line that he used in his recent book about his wife being threatened that someone was going to gut her like a deer, and that there was like an audible gasp from the crowd when he said that. And so it just sort of it reinforced this idea that they don't know all these details, and that they create an interesting character study of somebody who stood up in the face of adversity and you know, even these death threats back in 2011.
And you've said or written that the expectation for the governor was fairly low, as you were just talking about, people don't really know him. Did he exceed that level of expectation?
Right. So Iowa, not just on Saturday, but throughout, seems to be a battle about over expectations. You don't necessarily need to win Iowa, you know, the caucus next year, a year from now, in order to do well in the presidential race, but you certainly don't want to fall below expectations. In 2007, Mitt Romney won the Iowa straw poll in August, and then in the Iowa caucus a few months later, he came in second to Mike Huckabee. You know, second doesn't sound too bad, but for Romney to have won the straw poll and then come in second, he sort of fell below expectations. And Walker, at this event at least, came in with, again, those low expectations that he was sort of Midwestern nice, not a very fiery speaker. And by coming out with his shirt sleeves rolled back and, you know, roaming the stage, connecting with people in the audience, he really proved those critics about his presentation wrong. And so he certainly came off at least as being somewhat fiery and not being boring. So it's the thing about expectations, though, is you can exceed them once, but, you know, it's not necessarily something you can do every time, because those expectations will certainly be higher as he goes forward in this process.
How important, I mean, Iowa's important in general. How important is it to Governor Walker in particular if he does end up running?
Iowa has some significance for Walker because he's from a neighboring state. And that gets into those expectations again, is that he'll have an easier time making trips to Iowa. You know, they talked a lot about how in order to win there, you need to be, you know, you need to visit all 99 counties like Rick Santorum did in 2011. But, you know, again, Rick Santorum may have won the caucus, but where did he go after that? So he's going to be going to New Hampshire in March. He's going to be visiting other states. He's likely not to stake all of his hopes on just Iowa, or at least if he's learning from past presidential campaigns, it doesn't seem like that would be wise. But at the same time, he can't show poorly there and expect to continue to get this kind of buzz that he's getting today.
Okay, this weekend, Iowa, where else? What are his next big non-candidate appearances?
Well, we don't know his full schedule, but the campaign isn't sort of laying it all out for the next several months, and I'm sure they don't even know yet. But you know, he's speaking in Washington D.C. at the end of February at the Conservative Political Action Conference. He's spoken at that conference before, but it's a big headliner kind of event for, you know, all the presidential prospects are going to be there. Trotting out their ideas, talking to conservatives from across the country. And so that'll be another big one. And then, as I mentioned, he's going to New Hampshire in March, which, again, that's the state that holds a primary right after the Iowa caucus next January. So it would be another opportunity to strike in a state where he needs to do well early on in the presidential process, if that's, in fact, what he decides to do.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thank you for having me.
That's Matthew DeForest, state capitol reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. He's covering the governor's potential run for president. He was with us to discuss the Iowa Freedom Summit held this weekend.